All right, let's just talk a little bit about life. I say, what do you mean by that? Talk about God. Talk about God. Talk about life. Talk about God. Whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether you're full, whether you're hungry, talk about life, because life is beautiful. Life is so beautiful. Everything that God ever did, everything He's ever done, has been to give us abundance of life. A good sharp appetite and a ripe juicy apple. Abundance of life. How wonderful it is to be in the land of the living. Jesus said, they that are cut off from God, they're dead while they live. That is, they don't have any connection with life. It's just a matter of a little while and they're going to wither up. Going to wither up. All the blistering sorrows of life is going to cause them to dehydrate. As far as life is concerned, and men are going to gather them and burn them. They're going to wither up. But I'm glad that I'm connected to life. Beautiful, beautiful life. I want to read just a little bit from the book of St. John. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Maybe read quite a bit here of these wonderful words of life. The Bobby wants Lydia Crystal dedicated. That's his little child, his new addition. All right. Let's read this. There was a man to the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Third chapter of St. John, first verse. A ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born to the flesh is flesh, and that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born to the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples, and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You know, this is a real subject, because here we learn how that Jesus compares water to the Spirit. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The wells of salvation, which is you and I. The wells of salvation. Ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. You know, Jacob, coming down from Mesopotamia, stopped on his way. Here in Sychar, he found a parcel of ground, and Jacob dug a well, a deep well. And when Jesus, later years, coming to this well, he meets this woman standing here, and this woman wants to know why that he is so different from the rest of the Jewish people. Why is it that you fellowship me, being a Samaritan, she said. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus wanted a drink of water. But she said, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You know that well was deep, because that well is 90 feet deep and about 7.5 feet wide. It is a deep well. She said, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. The water's way down in the ground. But see, Jesus was seeking a conversation. Jesus wanted to talk with her. And he wanted to get her spirit and get her mind. And he wanted to make her to understand the spiritual thing that he was going to say to her. So he just took that natural formula, that natural approach. And he said, woman, you're talking about water. If you had just asked of me, well, I would have given you some water that you've never tasted before. And this water that I would give unto you would turn you into a well. And out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water. And you would never thirst again. Now, you know, ever since I've drank of this water, I have never thirsted again, never. I drank of it many years ago, and until this day, I've never thirsted anymore. It has been a well of water springing up into everlasting life on the inside of me. I've drank from this great well. I am filled with the waters of God. My cup overflows. I drank daily from this great well of water. Because Christ gave me to drink. One day He gave me to drink of that wonderful water that didn't come from that well. They sang the song, Jesus gave me water that was not from the well. Jesus gave me water and I went forth to tell. Hallelujah. From the time that I got a hold of that water, I have went forth to tell. I've never stopped telling about that water. I'm so excited about that water. I can tell that many of you have never drank from the waters of God. You've never drank from the well of God because you're not excited. This water makes you excited. That water, that causes me to never thirst again. No matter where I'm at, no matter what the pressure is, no matter what happens to me, I never thirst because that water is a well of water on the inside of me springing up into everlasting life. And I'm so thankful because I have drank of that water. I'm so glad that tonight that I've got that water that quenches my thirst. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Said this shall be water that shall bring you everlasting life. Life in abundance, filled up and overflowing. What should I want aside from life? What should I desire aside from life? Now, we search after many things and we look out for many things. But Jesus gave us a little key to life. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. You know why God said to do that? He said, isn't your life more than your body? Isn't your life worth more than this body? Or you use the terms, isn't life worth more than meat that you use to feed the body with? Isn't it worth more? Life is what we want. I want to get a hold of life. If I seek the kingdom, I get life. So then, my body to me, the continuation of my body continuing in life, means more to me than all of that which I can obtain. Or is not the body more than meat? Jesus said, is not your life more than the raiment that you give it to purchase? Isn't your life worth more than all of this that you lay before? You spend your life laboring for the things of the world. Spend your life going out here to the frolics of the world. But Jesus said, isn't your life worth more than all of that? Isn't your life worth more than all of that you spend it to obtain unto? Isn't your life worth more than an education that you spend life to try to get? Isn't your life worth more than the money that you use your life up to try to obtain unto? Isn't your life worth more than all of the raiment that you spend your life to be able to purchase? Isn't my body worth more than the meat that I spend my life trying to get out yonder in the world? I used my body up, I used my strength up, I used my years up to obtain unto the meat of this world. Isn't my body worth more than that? Life. That's the beautiful thing, is life. Everybody wants life. They go to the football games. Why do they go to the football games? Because they want life. They find life at the football games. They go there because it's exciting. And they say, this is life. They get out, the young fellas, they spin the wheels on the car. They get on the motorcycles. And they romp across the fields on the motorcycles. Why do they do that? Because they say, this is life. See, but that isn't life. You may be getting the thrills of life, but you are not getting life. You may go to the ball games. You may go to the frolics of the world. You may go to the dances. You may do many things. But you are not getting life. You may earn many things in this world. You may have an abundance of things. But the Bible said that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. So then, being rich doesn't give you life. Being famous doesn't give you life. Being a great professional person doesn't give you life. Being educated doesn't give you life. Going to all the frolics, seeing all the sights, seeing all the wonders of the world, it doesn't give you life. You may get a thrill from life as you ride in a motorboat across the lake. You may get a thrill from life as you ride on the motorcycle down across the hill. You may get a thrill from life as you go up in the airplane and fly through the heavens. But I want you to know that none of that gives you life. Brother, you've got to come to God to get life. There's only one way to get life, and that's to go to Jesus. Jesus said, woman, if you'd have asked of me, I would have given you life. I would have given you water that would have quenched the thirst on the inside, and you would have had life. Filled up and overflowing. I want life. I don't want just to live a long time. I don't want to have the best of health. I don't want to be the best looking fellow in the world. I'm not interested in having more money and greater knowledge and education, more so than somebody else. But the one thing that I'm interested in is having life filled up and overflowing inside of my being. I want life. If I have to go forth in this world with holes in the bottom of my shoes, I want life. If I have to live in a shack, I want life. I want life because life can take care of every bit of it. Did you know a sound, healthy, well person that hath no problems, no pressures, no nerve reaction can live in a cave and be comfortable and happy more so than a man that's tore up and under pressure and nervous and a stomach full of ulcers? He can live better in the cave than that man can in a palace with all of the convenience. Did you know that? And be more comfortable and enjoy it more. Indians years ago that had to live in teepees and live in the mountains was more happier. Indians that had to go down to the streams to get their living, out of the streams and hunt. Healthy, strong people. They were much happier than the man that lives in a mansion today because they had life. They didn't know just where it come from. They just said that great heavenly spirit, that great Holy Spirit, that great spirit that they prayed to. They didn't know his name, but they knew that he was there and he had life. And they were always having meetings, dancing around the totem pole and dancing and hollering, trying to get in touch with that great spirit. You know, the beautiful part of it is that God honored those people because they were ignorant and didn't know any better. Isn't that wonderful? To think that God will honor somebody that don't know any better. That's what God would do. He would honor them because they didn't know any better. Now, but today, friend, we know better. Paul stepped up on Mars Hill one day and he said, I want to preach to you. He said, you people gather here to talk about different things. And I see the inscription you got to the unknown God. But Paul said, this day I declare unto you God who made heaven and earth. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Today I want to tell you about Jesus. Today we baptize some people in the name of the God that made heaven and earth. Today, we have the privilege of calling on the name of the God that made heaven and earth. Jesus, the great and mighty Jesus, who created heaven and who created earth. That God that said to this woman, I will give thee water that doesn't come from this well that Jacob made. She said, but our father Jacob gave us this well. Said, and it's a great place to us. It's a great thing to us. Said, and this father Jacob told us that we're to worship over here in this mountain. But Jesus said, woman, said there's a different era coming in. Said, this is a different thing that we're about to do. This is a change of life. Said, things are going to be different from now on. We're not going to go to the assemblies of God to worship. We're not going to go to the Pentecostal holiness to worship. We're not going to go to the Catholic priest to worship. We're not going to the Church of God and the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian to worship. But Jesus said, it's a new day. Calvary is coming. Hallelujah. That God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. This is a new hour, a new era, a new day. And we're going to worship God in spirit. How are we going to do it? Paul said, the God whom I serve with my spirit. God who is the spirit of holiness. That's what the world don't like. That's what the assemblies of God has lost. That's what the Pentecostal holiness has lost. That's what the UPC has lost. That's what the Catholic Church has lost. That's what the Methodists and the Baptists have lost. The spirit of holiness. For God is the spirit of holiness. And that's what we need, is the spirit of holiness. We've tried to substitute with running and jumping and hollering. Rock and roll and playing on the instruments and singing and everything else. We've tried to substitute with churches, buildings, with grounds. We've tried to substitute with everything. But friend, there is no church without God. And there is no God without holiness. There is no spiritual move of God in the world unless it's a move of holiness. God is the spirit of holiness, the Bible tells us. God whom I serve with my spirit. For he is the spirit of holiness. And when the spirit of God came mightily upon Zacharias, he stood up and prophesied and said, by the unction of the spirit, that my people should serve me in righteousness and holiness all the days of their life. So then what we need is the water that Jesus gave to the woman. What kind of water is that? He said it's the water of life. This is the water of life. And what is that water of life? It's holiness. Hallelujah! It's the Spirit of God, which is holiness. That water that you don't like to drink of, that's holiness. You know, the devil has tried to figure out for thousands of years how to get that water out of the well by getting away from holiness. And he's sent his preachers to school, and he's hatched them out of incubators, as we say. And the Bible said they've hatched off a bunch of cockatrice. And they've done everything. They tried to get into politics, tried to get into school programs, and tried to get into the professional world. Tried to educate them with college and everything. Trying to get away from holiness. But brothers and sisters, there's only one way. The old-fashioned preacher used to say it's holiness or it's hell. There's no two ways about it. God is life. Without life, there's nothing but the blistering torments of being out of His presence. In a lake of fire. So then it's holiness or it is hell. That's why we've got holiness under the Lord over our gates. That's why the Bible said in the millennium that even on the horse's bridle it will have holiness under the Lord. That's why that our people are always saying holiness under the Lord, because God is the spirit of holiness. And who is our Lord but Jesus? Holiness under the Lord. People are ashamed of holiness. How can a pig be ashamed of a garment that's just been freshly brought from the laundry. It would take a pig to stick his snout on something like that. We are holy people. We are clean, righteous people. Those of those people that are dirty and filthy, dogs that return to their vomiting, sows that wallows in the mire. But I want you to know that we are godly people. We are holy people. They're the ones that needs to bow down. They're the ones that should be ashamed of their evil, dirty ways, their dirty doings, to think only the devil himself shies away from the spirit of holiness. God is holiness. They say unto the Pope of Rome, "Your holiness." But oh, what a blasphemous thing that is. The Pope of Rome is not his holiness. The Pope of Rome is just another fella, just another pea in the pod. He's not his holiness. But Christ Jesus is his holiness. Hallelujah! Unto his holiness, Christ the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. But my people should serve me in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. I will give you water to drink that you've never drank of, Jesus said. I will give you everlasting life. Water springing up into everlasting life, and you'll never have to come to this well to draw. Waters of life. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life. But he said, my people have committed two sins. One of those sins, they have forsaken the well of living waters. They have forsaken the God of heaven and of earth. And they have hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, that will not hold water. This water that I'm speaking of, their cisterns are broken. They broke their cisterns. They have their own systems, and their systems are broken, and they won't hold water. But I'll tell you what, when you get to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that's a system that will hold the water. That system is not broken, brother. They said, and a bone of his body shall not be broken. That system is not broken. But it is that great, wonderful system that God himself has molded. The great potter himself has made this system, and it holds the waters of everlasting life. I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. I've got life tonight. I've got that water tonight. Have you got that water tonight? This water that comes not from the natural well, but from the innermost being of God. We, as a people, who come down to the end of the way, have you ever stopped to consider the fact that the one thing that's missing in eternity, if you miss God, the one thing that's missing is water? Have you ever noticed that the rich man cried out and said, just bring a little water? The one thing that's missing in the eternities is water. Why is that? Why is it that the water is missing? Because God is missing. God is missing. And what kind of water are they looking for? That man wasn't talking about natural water. Why, you couldn't have gotten 100 miles of hell with a drop of water. Natural water. He wasn't crying for that kind of water. But he was asking for that spiritual drink that comes from God, that living water. Oh, just give me one little bit of that water. That water that quenches the thirst, to cool my parching tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. The waters of life. The waters of life.
God isn't there anymore. God isn't there anymore. God is gone from that place. God isn't there. And the torture and the torment of being athirst and being hurt and being in pain and being without not only the natural water that quenches the thirst, but that water of life that that soul is crying for.
It's hot in this building tonight. Sweaty. The water runs out as fast as you put it in. Why? Because the heat is severe. As the Bible said, the day shall come that it shall scorch the earth and shall scorch the people on the earth. But the blistering, hot sun coming down, even though it's shades of evening, and even though the shades of evening have fallen, still in this building it's hot, it's uncomfortable. But think what it would be like in hell. Think what it would be like separated from God. Think what it would be like if it dawned on you, even though you're not in hell, you're still in the world. But supposing that today it suddenly dawned on you that you're never going to get another drink of water. Not go to hell, but just in the fierceness of this heat, just in the weight of sorrow and oppression that's in this world, the misery, being uncomfortable, and never having another drop of water, never having any more to drink, think what it would be like. It would be so horrifying to know that you'd never have any more water. But brothers and sisters, when you think about the type, when you think about the shadow of those things to come, when you think that my natural thirst is only a type of that spiritual thirst, and my natural man in the agony, wanting water, that it's only a type of the eternities where the spiritual man will never have another taste of living water. Think what it would be like. Tonight, we've got the water. Like the voice that said to my brother Junior, said there's one thing that they've got out at Little Bethlehem, and that is a good well of water. A good well of water. You know, this well is deep, and you don't have anything to draw with. But Jesus hath made a way. For Jesus said, say not in thine hearts, who shall descend into the deep to bring it up. I brought the water up, Jesus said. I went down into the depths of the deep. I brought the water up. Say not in thine hearts, who shall bring the water up. I brought the water up. And say not in thine hearts, who shall ascend up into the heavens. That is to bring it down. I brought it down. Hallelujah. But it's nigh unto you, that if thou canst believe in thine heart and confess with thy lips, Jesus said you can be saved. You can have this water. Did you know there's many people in the church world today, and they do not know whether they're saved or not? Did you know that at Little Bethlehem there's people here that do not know whether they're saved or not? They tell you that they're Christians. They tell you that they're saved. But when you pin them down, they don't really know whether they're saved or not. You pin them right down to it, and they'll say, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. It's something down here. It's always bothered me. I'm always bothered about it, and always questions in my heart. I don't really know whether I've got God or not. But, oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something. When you get God, you'll know that you got God. You'll know that you got God. You know, when I pick this up right here, nobody don't have to tell me that I got something in my hand. I know I got something in my hand. And see, when you get something in your heart, you can feel it just as much as you can feel it in your hand, and even more so. If the heart's tender, you can feel it in the heart too. Did you know that? So then, if you are not sure tonight, it's because you haven't made contact with God. If you're not sure tonight in your heart that you've got God, it's because you've never made contact with God. You know, it's like being baptized in Jesus' name. I wouldn't want to try to go to heaven without being baptized in Jesus' name. Did you know that? I've often thought about it. A lot of people say, well, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter. But I still don't want to take the chance. I don't want to run the risk. I say that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. There's people that's died, that went on, that wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus. You say, well, Brother Pike, did they make it into heaven? That's between them and God. There's no need of me preaching to you about them people. The thing I need to do is preach to you about these living people. God will take care of that and them. That's between God and them. But I'll tell you one thing, you that are living, you better get baptized in Jesus' name. You may belong to the Methodist, you may belong to the Catholic, you may belong to the Baptist, you may belong to the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, or whatever you belong to. You better get baptized in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, we need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Like the brother was talking about the other night, if somebody's sprinkling somebody, you don't sprinkle dirt over a dead man unless you want a stink coming up. That's why we got such a stink in the church. They just sprinkled a little bit over them. But I'll tell you, when somebody's thoroughly dead, you need to dig a hole and put them in it. Cover them up with the dirt. Do it good. If you don't, the dogs will dig them up. And then you'll still have a stink. So then, out here we believe in burying folks. Dead folks, that is. I want to offer you life tonight. I want you to share my enthusiasm tonight. Brother, it might be hot. It might be uncomfortable, but that don't bother me at all. That doesn't bother me. When there's bills to be paid, that still doesn't bother me. When it comes to my salvation, though there's trouble everywhere, that still doesn't bother me on the inside. I've got this water that comes from the well of God. I'm drinking of this water. I want you to come and partake. Let whosoever will come. Let him that doesn't have any money, let him come and partake of this water, and that freely. Because I want you to have life tonight. I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. Let's worship life. When you come to church, God inhabits the praise of His people. When you come to church, worship life. Worship God. When you're sitting there, all the time that you're sitting there, don't be just sitting there looking at the preacher, but sit there meditating in His laws day and night. Sit there thinking about the glory of God. Don't think about your belly. Think about God. Think about the good things of heaven. Feed off of the manna that comes down from God. While you're sitting there, think about that manna. Think about that holiness. Think about that righteousness of God. And just bathe in the spirit of holiness. When you get away from here, walk circumspectly. Let everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. When you get out there, think about holiness. Let all of your thoughts be on holiness. Let all of your plans be for holiness. Let every deed that you do be seasoned with holiness. Don't do anything that's unlike holiness. Don't look at anything that's unlike holiness. Don't think anything that's unlike holiness. Don't go anywhere that's unlike holiness. Shun the very appearance of evil. Shun the very appearance of evil. The writer said, I will set no evil thing before my eye. You know, television is one of the most wicked, wretched things that you can set before your eyes. A mother and a daddy that'll have a television in their home and allow that thing to be where the kids can set it before their eyes. They couldn't know God. There's no way they could know God. They're blind as a bat. Even Billy Graham just recently, I believe it was in the Nashville Crusade, made the statement that one of the greatest evils of America was television. And that is true. He's on them all across the country. He ought to know. But there's one thing about it. He fellowships with those that are evil and wicked. He should know more about it than anybody else. He's with the stars. But you know what? We want to stay free from evil. Not only that, but the radio, though it's not as powerful as being enticing, it's just as rotten.
A radio is just as rotten as it can be. A newspaper is just as rotten as it can be. What we need to do is not put any evil thing before our eyes. Don't let our ears hear any evil thing. A lot of these tapes are getting out of Texas. They belong to tape clubs and they get them. Them things is rotten. Rock and roll. Evil. Just enough of the Word of God in there to bring in their rock and roll music and their evil doings. Letting your children mess with these little old things on TV. These little old comic strips. Mess with these little old things that get out of the stores. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let's be holy people. Let's come out from among the world and let God bless us. You know, I want God's health in my body. I want God's health in my mind. I want God's blessings on what I do. I want God's blessings on my children. I don't want to have to go through life afraid that my kids are going to get killed all the time. I don't want to have to go under a load afraid that I'm going to have a wreck all the time. I don't have to go believing that poverty is going to strike me and I'm going to fold up. I don't like to go with them kind of thoughts. I make it my business to stay in fellowship with God and to love God so that I can have that freedom, that feeling of glory in my soul that holiness alone can give. I have that consolation of knowing that everything's going to be all right. Why? Because faith will make it all right. And I got faith in my heart. And I do the things that please Him so I can have faith in my heart. Doing always the things Jesus said that pleased the Father. Snatch those evil, half-nude, whatever they are off of your walls. Get rid of the pictures. Get rid of the books. These men here at the offices, I told them to go through their libraries. They've stacked up garbage and stacked up garbage because they feel they need a book. And then you tell them to get rid of it and they take a pencil and scribble over it and leave just enough to make it ugly. Get rid of the thing. Clean up. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. Get rid of it. Get it out of there. Get all of the garbage out. Get rid of that little old record player that your little boy and girl's got. Throw the thing in the garbage if you have to. Or either get something that's fit for them to listen at. Do away with it. Tear up those little old silly, crazy records that invite the devil and some kind of wild music in. Fill their minds with the right things of God. Get rid of those books. You bring a book in or your little daughter, your son brings it in. And they say, well, this is the book about God. You know you've got a lust devil. You know you're feeding out of the garbage can. And you know that in those books are just enough to get your spirit in there to feed that dirty devil you've got living on the inside. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Because the devil don't like this at all. You got a lust devil. You feed off of it. You're corrupt and you know you're corrupt. And you trouble your own home and you trouble your own life. And you trouble the church and you trouble everybody. Get something that's godly. Get something that's holy. Get something that's pure. Some of these books that they got, the sword and whatever you call it. Yeah, the cross and the sword. Throw them junks in the junk pile. Get the devil out of your house. Don't you know that's rotten? Cursing and everything else in there. God didn't tell that boy to write no such filth as that. You say, but he's done a lot of good. God will reward him for the lot of good he's done. But he's done a lot of bad. And God will reward him for the lot of bad that he's done too. Let's clean up, folks. Let's be right. Either be right or be nothing at all. You love Jesus? All right, I want you to stand with me. When you write a story, you write a story that will magnify God, not the switchblade, not the devil, not the ugliness, not the filth, not the passions of the flesh. When you enter into a conversation, you tell it the way that it will magnify God and not evil and not wickedness, not unrighteousness, not the garbage can of the world. You tell it the way that it will do Christ some good. You'll find out you'll live a long time. And you'll find out that you'll be here when somebody else is gone. And you'll find out that God will give you the blessing and make you rich when the other man is a pauper. And you'll find out that you'll be on the other side singing the songs of Zion and rejoicing when others will not. When people come to your home, don't go to making allowance. I say this again. I know that people come to our home. And sometimes they slip in and we're forced to make a little allowance for the sake of the soul. But them people that's been there before and been there before, get a little God in you and tell them to button up their shirt, to sew up their dresses, get something on that's decent, or tell them don't come back to your house. You say, but that's my darling son and daughter. That is a devil that's coming to visit you. Your son and daughter might be the filthy house he lives in, but that's a devil that came over to visit you. And you and that devil belongs together, and you're going to hell together because you flock together. There's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together, and you flock together with them. You go eat with them. You go visit with them. You go frolic with them. You're seen with them. I don't even want to be seen with my sons if they're not going to be decent. I don't want to be seen with my daughters if they're not going to be decent. I've told George Jr. when he's out in sin, I said, look, boy, button up your shirt, get your shirt tailed in if you want me to ride with you. I said, drive down the road like a sane man and not a maniac if you want me in the car with you. I said, if I'm going to be seen with you, I want you to look decent. But I tell you what, you fellowship them devils and see if they don't stay over at your house. See if they don't stay over at your house. And I tell you, when trouble comes, God will bring your house low too. He'll knock the foundation out from under it. He'll bring you down to the sides of the pit because he don't like that kind of thing. You say, that's my darling loved ones. Them's devils, that's what they are. Them's devils, and don't you ever let anybody tell you any different. If your mother comes to your house and she's dressed like a harlot, she's a devil. I don't care what you call her. You can call her mama or mammy or whatever. But she's a devil when she walks into your house like that. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, devil. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know, I guess you think I'm too hard. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet, cry aloud and spare not. Show my people of their transgression, the house of Jacob of their sins. They take pleasure in approaching unto me. They come to church, Jesus said. They come to church. But he said, and they act like people have done right, but said they hadn't done right. Cry aloud and tell them they hadn't done right. I love you folks. I tell you one thing. When we get our crooked, wretched, hypocriting lives straightened out, the young people come to God. Did you know that? They'll get afraid. Like Raymond told me today. He said, George, he said, I tell you the truth. He said, I wasn't even in church when I got converted. I said, where was you at? He said, I was home in my apartment. He said, but somebody had been talking to me about God. And he said, two or three people had been approached me about it. I said, and I got that thing on my mind. And I got to thinking, now what if something happens to you tonight? What if you die? He said, and man, I began to do something about it. And then came all the way from there down here to get me to baptize him in Jesus' name. Folks, if we live right, something will take place. Something will take place. Let's live for God. Stop hypocriting around. Quit telling Brother Pike you love him when you know you got the devil in you and you don't love him. Quit telling your fellow man you love him and you're with him. And these brethren that you're with him, and every chance you get, you knife them in the back or you run off and leave them and you let them carry the load and you've got no interest. Quit hypocriting around because that's what you're doing. Quit being a hypocrite. Just come right out and confess that you're a devil. Don't be a hypocrite. You confess that you're a devil, that a devil's got a hold of you. That's the way to do it. God will have more mercy on you than he will you playing the hypocrite. If you're a child of God, you don't have to confess nothing. You just live like it. And everybody will know it. Everybody will know it. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. I got a few women here that's busybodies. I don't care what you tell them. They got to put their nose in something. They're busybodies. The Bible said being a busybody in other people's matters. And I got some men here. The Bible said their mouths ought to be stopped. They've always got something to say. They ain't got no business saying. Busybodies. Folks, we don't need a bunch of busybodies. We need some Christians. We need people that are willing to die for their fellow man. People that will labor together. People that love one another. I said, Brother Pike, you make it so hard we can't go that route. Ain't a bit of trouble. Ain't a bit of trouble. He said, well, how can you do it just to be born again? Everyone that's born again travels it without any problem. Never have any problems. But a hypocrite can't stay on it. He's always running off the road. He ain't licensed to drive to start with. He's drunk off the cares of life. You love the Lord? All right. I said, Brother Pike, it's getting harder and harder, getting sweeter each day. We sang that song, it's sweeter each day, it's sweeter each day. Praise God. You know where the problem is, and I'm going to close here. It ain't the preaching. Where the problem is, you don't do what the preacher tells you. I preach against those rotten, evil, corrupt books that you got in your home. You're reading them day after tomorrow. But one of these days, you're going to open your eyes in hell, and it's going to be too late. One of these days, you're going to look up out of a wreck, and your throat's going to be split and the blood running out. One of these days, something bad's going to happen. You keep on frolicking around with the world. Keep on going to the places I told you not to. Keep on saying the things I told you not to say. Doing the things I told you not to do. But one day you'll be sorry. It'll be too late. But you'll still be sorry. I invite you to be sorry, friend, before it's too late. While they're playing on the organ, let's sing a little chorus. You know, it's something today, how that everything seems to have to do with baptizing. I'm drenched up here. But Jesus prayed one time until his sweat became as great drops of blood. Don't that make you feel comfortable tonight? I said, now don't you feel comfortable? You say, whew, whew, whew. But his sweat became great drops of blood. Don't you feel comfortable since you haven't done anything? Somebody say, I love Jesus. I say, we ain't done nothing. We're so comfortable tonight. But what if we could stay here till our sweat become great drops of blood? You have so much convenience and you don't know it. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm so uncomfortable. You know why? A lot of you have got a tummy full of acids because you've done nothing but eat all day. Don't take enough exercise doing anything for God or mankind to keep the acids burn out of your system. And you're so miserable you can't hardly sit still. Your whole system rotting out on you. It's a tummy ache or a headache or a footache or some kind of ache all the time. But it's so good to be a Christian. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and her daughters. I wished I could travail for God. I wished I could really get in and do something for God. The thought comes to me now. I was telling my wife today, I said, Betty, I would gladly give both arms and both legs to really be able to do something for God. I would so gladly do that. I'd be so glad to go through life without an arm or without a leg. If God would just let me do something for Him, really do something for Jesus, I'd gladly yield Him up just to be able to do something for Him in His kingdom. We need to do something for God, folks. Do something for God. You know, you've got both hands, both eyes, both feet. You've got good hearing, good sight. You need to do something for God. Do something for God. Stretch out for God. Make a special effort for God. Don't make excuses all of your life. All of your life. Saying, I can't, I can't. There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. Young fellas, rally. Do something for God, folks. Some of you young fellas, you young teenagers, Michael Beachy was telling me yesterday that he's trying to live for God now. It just thrilled me. You can't imagine how that just thrilled me. I prayed for old Mike, and I just thrilled. You couldn't have given me $1,000 and made me as happy as it did when I heard Mike say that he was trying to live for Jesus. It just literally thrilled me to think, you know, that he is considering Jesus. To think that he is considering Jesus. The Bible said the angels in heaven have a jubilee. Have a jubilee. Can't you just see that? One soul coming to repentance. One person gets saved. And Michael just screams out, said, Gabriel, did you see that? Oh, glory to God. And all the angels start playing on the harps and every one of them starts shouting and hollering, glory to God, glory to God. Not one. That soul will never have to go to hell. He'll never have to go to hell. He'll never have to go to hell. He'll never have to go to hell. He made it over. He escaped. One of God's children, one of the creation, is saved. He'll never be lost. We pulled him out of the fire before the house burned down. My, what a jubilee. What a jubilee. Don't you love Jesus? I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Just tarry with me just for a few minutes. You know, I feel like if I can't do something for God, I'll just die. That's the way I feel. I feel like I've just got to do something for God or I'll just die. There's something that's got a hold to me. I got to do something for God or just die. I just can't stand it. I need to do something for God. I feel such a weight, such a pressure, such a need, such an urgency to do something for God. I want to do something for God. I need to do something for God. They sang that song tonight, those faraway fields. They keep on a calling. Those faraway places are so nearby to me. The world is dying for God, and what are we doing? You know, I drink a lot of water. Brother Taylor has a hard time keeping that cup filled up. But that's the way it is in God. It takes a lot of water to fill this cup up. My, stay so hungry after God. He that hungers and thirsts after God shall be filled. David said, my God, said, my heart paineth after thee, like the heart does the water brook. You know, on a hot day when the heart is running, the deer is just going as fast as he can. He's just out of breath and sweating and a puffing. He is dying to get to that water brook. My heart paineth after thee, O Lord. I feel so thirsty if I could just get a hold of you. Get a drink of that water. Thirst after you. Like the heart does the water brook. My soul paineth after thee. Let's sing this chorus together, can we? Let's don't be lighthearted, folks. I love you. Maybe I preach too hard to you. I don't know. But I love you. Paul said, I seek to present you to Christ without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Is one that is jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one, even Jesus the Christ. Your own beloved, who will be looking to meet you. The evening time when Isaac came, or Rebekah came across that desert, Isaac was in the fields meditating in the evening time. And he longed for a day when Eliezer would bring Rebekah back. He longed for that moment when he could look up and see that camel train coming. The Bible said when that camel train got across that hot, blistering desert, that Rebekah spotted Isaac. And she said to Eliezer, "Who is that?" And Eliezer said, "That's him." Hallelujah. Glory to God, that's him. That's that young, rich millionaire that is Lord and heir to all that his father, the rich Abraham, owns. That's him. And the Bible said she lighted off of that camel. Oh, I tell you what, we're getting closer to him. Closer to him. Every day closer to him. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus. Just another touch, Lord, from thee. Can you graze it just a little, sister? Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing it with me? To help me with the trials I go through, and dark may be the night, but I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. You know, Elijah went by. When he passed by Elisha, Elisha was out there in the field plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. When he went by, he just brushed by him. And Elisha turned around, something happened to him. And Elisha run home. Said, "I gotta leave. I can't stay." Took the old yoke plow and broke it up, built a fire out of it, ready to sacrifice the ox. And Elijah said, "What have I done to you?" Oh, he said, "I've got to go with you. I've got to go with you. Don't tell me I can't go. I've got to go with you. I've got to go with you." I remember Ruth. When she spoke to Naomi, Naomi said, "What have I done to you? Go back." "Nay," she said, "no. Nothing but death can separate us." Said, "Wherever you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Wherever you lay down to rest, that's where I'll lay down to rest." See, he touched me. One day he came by, he touched me. And ever since then I've been crying, "Oh Lord, don't tell me I can't go. Don't speak to me, Jesus, and tell me I can't go with you. You've done something to me when you touch me. I can't be satisfied unless I'm right there with you. All the time I have to be with you." Don't you love him tonight? Don't you know that you belong to him tonight? You belong to him. He purchased you with his blood. And he said, "I've engraved you upon the palms of my hand." The nail prints, the prophet foreseeing, said, "I've engraved thee upon the palms of my hand that I should not forget thee. Though a mother may forget her child and forsake her little one, I shall never leave thee
nor forsake thee, for I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands, that I will always be in remembrance of you. Always. Greater love hath no man than this. Love is as strong as death. That a man should lay down his life for his friend. Jesus said, I have called you friend because I'm laying my life down for you. Are you laying your life down for him? For your fellow man? Are you laying your life down for your fellow man? Am I laying my life down for my fellow man? Am I? Sing it with me. For something happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. One more time. Jesus touched me. Oh yes, the Savior touched me. And oh, that joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands up. You know, like David Paul said tonight, he said, I feel whole. I feel at rest. I feel whole. I feel that God has done something to me. I feel whole tonight. I want you to lift your hands up, close your eyes. I'm going to ask David Paul to come and pray with you tonight. Let's pray. And let's ask God tonight to do something for us. Get that wonderful spirit of holiness on the inside. Be a holiness person. Testify of holiness. Rest in the spirit of holiness that you may have that abundant, filled up, overflowing spirit of holiness. That life that's so abundant.